This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by CJ Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where I am with echo on my end for some reason. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Okay. Some stories just keep giving. FTX keeps giving. This price control issue with the grocery stores keep giving. And quite honestly, it's really fascinating to observe. It's really fascinating to observe. So let's see if we could delve into it a bit. So we talked about the grocer's decision to essentially ignore the law. So apparently in the Bahamas, the government's publication of laws, passage of laws, only means something when Let me put it a different way. It has been historically the case that the government passes a law and the society complies. Yes, there are people who breach the law, that's for sure. You know, the extent to which you've had murders take place, rapes take place, and these things mean the people who are aware of the law still break the law. But historically, people do not come to you unannounced, "I'm going to break the law. Actually, I'm breaking the law." And expect perhaps no response in relation to that in terms of prosecution. That's not historically what has happened in the Bahamas. Historically in the Bahamas, when you break the law and the government finds out, the government sends its law enforcers to investigate you. And if they find that you have breached the law, they prosecute you. Very often, when the investigators are investigating a crime, they look for a slam dunk. You know what the slam dunk is? a confession. They asked the man, did you steal from her? And he said, yes, I did. When did you do it? I did it on Tuesday, November 16th. And they have a confession. They have him sign a confession and boom, you got a slam dunk. That's rare, but it can happen. Confessions are like slam dunks because you are admitting your guilt. You know, Your Honor, I admit to that violation and I throw myself on the mercy of the court. So you look for slam dunk. Typically, that doesn't happen. People try to avoid speaking, saying anything, doing anything that would incriminate them. In our instance, this price control thing, the folks have said, no, ain't nothing changed. We waiting on them to respond to us. Slam dunk, a confession of a violation of a breach. Now that is intriguing enough. That honestly, that's intriguing enough. That's intriguing enough. And again, you listen, when people called, I heard some folk calling to one show, oh, people don't know what businesses have to go through, et cetera, and what this thing meant for the business. I am in agreement with all of that, that the grocers have an absolute justification to be upset, angry. I understand that. Just like when the government passes tax laws and all that, people have a right to be angry about it. We've been charging duty in the Bahamas for a long time, and the poor people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas have a right to say it's unfair the way you charge a duty because the duty levies on me a tax the same as a man who earns 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times me. That's justifiable. But they still got to obey the law. They still have to obey the law. They still have to obey the law. You go to your bank, you go to the bank for your own money. And when you make a withdrawal, the government charges you a fee of VAT tax on the withdrawal of your own money. If you take the money and try and stock the money underneath your mattress or something like that, time for you to withdraw it, you don't have to pay the government no tax. But because you think it's safer in the bank, as most of us do, you put it there, and when you try to get it, the government charges you. Who likes that? Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that. You have to obey the law. So I get that. I get the anger, the frustration that the grocers have. But they aren't different than us. They have to obey the law. We have to obey the law. Now, historically in the Bahamas, when you breach the law, the government doesn't say, I demand that you respect the law. You imagine that? Bro, you are not paying your real property tax. You are not obeying the traffic laws. You are stealing from people's houses. I demand that you respect the law. You think that'll go down like that? Why is it like this? Why is that happening? Why is the government handling the grocers this way? For good reasons. For good reasons. For good reasons. One, these are respectable business people in your society. They employ lots of people. They pay lots of taxes. In other ways, they do lots of very good things in the society. And really, prosecuting them en masse could be quite disruptive, et cetera. Mind you, that don't mean they shouldn't prosecute them. I'm just saying that they would be disruptive. These are also political donors. I mean, I don't even say that maliciously. Let's be clear. You all know in this show I have said to you all, haven't been where I've been. Listen, the relationship between the political parties in the Bahamas and the business community is a relationship of long-standing and mutual benefits. These people are donors. They are very influential people. They influence their employees, they influence their family members, they influence the society, and they give to political parties. You ain't going to bite that hand that feeding you on so many fronts. So you don't want to do that either. And then the headache of tying up your prosecutors and police officers in pursuit of this is an impractical situation. But let me tell you why I am pointing all of this out. Let me tell you why I'm pointing all of this out. Because all of this is known and was known prior to the implementation of this expansion in the breadbasket item. It was always a probably unenforceable provision. Always. I said that. It was always impractical. It was always a challenge. And when you have laws and policies that you cannot adequately enforce, you just as well don't have the law or policy at all. Because for you to have to plead with people to obey the law and not be able to compel them to do so or prosecute them to do so or willing to prosecute them to do so, you have no law. That's reality. So, honestly, if I were the government, this now has become a nuisance. A nuisance. Sit with the grocers. Ask them. They sent you a proposal. Meet them a quarter of the way, two, a half of the way, three quarters of the way, and move on from this. It is already a temporary measure. It having a meaningful and material impact on the lives of the Commonwealth society. It is not. It is not. It is not worth the headache. I'm sorry. No one can evidence that it is having a manifest difference. No one can. But if the grocers are prepared to meet the government halfway even and say, listen, we could do this, maybe not 38 items, how about 19 or so, you got a victory on both ends. They get to move on, you get to move on, and this society gets to move on from what really is an untenable situation. You cannot have your commercial establishment flaunting the law. And you cannot have a government incapable of enforcing its law. You should not have a society witnessing this. No society should. On so many levels, this can create a narrative that just don't smell or look right. And so I don't want to get into, oh, you on the grocer's side or you on the government side. I ain't on nobody's side. This can be resolved. The grocer sent a proposal. Look at it. Say, you know what? Okay, maybe we tweak here and there. Boom, shakalaka. The prime minister says he can meet with the grocers next week. Next week? Next week? It's a problem today. It's a huge problem today. I mean, like, honestly, the prime minister doesn't even have to deal with this. Michael Akides, Senator Michael Akides, very intelligent young man, he's an intelligent man. He's capable man and so forth. Yeah, maybe he didn't consult on the beginnings and so forth. But you can, Michael Akides, Senator Akides, minister can sit with these guys and come to some agreement and move on, man. This is not necessary. This is a necessary waste of energy, political energy, policy energy, commercial energy. This is a waste of energy. It is unnecessary because it is not having a material impact on the lives of the people of this country, and they are not screaming for it. We could focus our energy on really having an impact if we want. But this is not worth that headache, I don't think. The grocers are willing to talk. they were the ones who in the first instance said, listen, you're doing this, announcing this, and you didn't consult with us. You had a word with them and they sent in a proposal. The proposal was sent in a little while ago. I mean, if you could listen to me, if the government of the Bahamas can, in a short while, announce a whole new policy on price control to cause this level of concern for grocers. If the grocers send you a counter proposal, it can't take you 2 days to review it. 2 days? Because what are you saying? You're saying, well, I have to. That the grocers put to you because theirs was only a reaction to your initial policy. So now, you what could be the reason that you couldn't have come back to them by now and say no, or we would accept it if you would agree to do this, that, and the next thing, and we could have been moving on from this untenable situation. Or we're going to wait for 6 months because it's supposed to last for 6 months, right? That would have been from October, November, December, January, February, March. For 6 months, it was supposed to last, I think. That's it. We're going to wait till the time runs on that. For 6 months, defiance of the law, non-prosecution of breaches of the law as a precedent to be set in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Vinny 619 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Come back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're talking about the grocers' defiance of the price control regulations and the government's paralysis on the issue, it seems. This text says, hi, Z, I feel your passion. Unfortunately, I feel an important part here. The government doesn't want to back down or compromise in any way. Ego? Really? I don't know why ego would be at play here, because is your ego helped by people defying you and you're not doing anything about it? How does that help your ego? In fact, you look awful. you look worse. You look worse in that way than by sitting down and compromising and getting a part of what you want. But to have people say, I am not listening to you, and you are going to have to respond to me before I listen to you, but you do nothing about it, how does that help your ego? That's like a dude, like you with your girl, and a guy threatens to slap your girl, and you say, I wish you would, and he slaps the girl, and you stand up there looking like, why you do that? Why? Right? It would have been better if they say, bro, listen, man, let's squash this. We don't have to go through this and what have you. You like? I don't like how you acting right now, but you know, ain't no thing. Which one of them situations, if you're a male and you listening to me, which one of those situations you come up better looking? Dude, slap your girl and you stood up there and just look at him like, why you slap her? Versus you try to reason with him so that the both of y'all could walk out of there with nobody being slapped. So ego from the aspect of not even meeting with the grocers? Yeah, and like I said, maybe. It says, greater as usual. In other words, once you're rich, you are above the law. Life ain't fair, never was and never will be. Say the government have bigger fish to fry than the grocers. They want their mucho dinero, their money, and the union dead serious about their money. The government employees will strike. I rather reason with the person. Yeah. This person says, Mr. Lang, we are having a black Xmas this time. Do y'all think the Bahamas is being punished for not manufacturing? We only import everything. Ham and turkey is out of the range of $100 plus already. Government should and can decrease customs and VAT on imports to stop an avalanche of failure. Well, I don't know that removing VAT and duty on these items you're talking about is going to do that much, because the VAT is only 10% and the duty on those are low. So I don't know that how that helps per se, but I'm not having no black Christmas. See, let me tell you something, because apparently we are not getting it. Sister, you eat turkey and ham at Christmas time because you could afford it. And you wanted to, even when it got higher, to afford it. That's what you did. If you cannot afford it anymore, they have roasters in the food store. You could buy a roaster and have a roaster. If you can't do that, do fish. There is no law compelling you to buy a turkey or a ham. Let the rich man, let the rich woman buy the turkey and the ham. And you have Christmas with a delicious fried fish, group, whatever you want to do, crab and rice, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw, and do what you want to do. But the people in this country, the grocers in this country, understand you. They don't understand me. They understand you. They understand you because they know that you are rigid when it comes to what you think you have to do at any. Oh, we got to spend money on new stuff. We got to go and paint up the whole house. We got to go and have turkey and ham and two turkeys and ham. We got to do all of this, even though we can't afford it because the rent is due, the light bill is due, and all of them going up. But they know you. And so they put the price there, and they know that you are going to cuss and squirm and put it in your cart and go to the store, go to the cash register and pay for it. So why I am not having no black Christmas unless we have a national blackout and the power go off. But I'm not going to have one of those. I'm not. Because there's nothing in the food store that's going to stress me out. Nothing. nothing. Christmas coming is not going to stress me out to go and get anything I can't afford or do not want to afford. I won't do it. So I'm sorry. Ain't going to be no avalanche or failure for us. And nobody's punishing us. Most countries in the world don't manufacture most of the things that they import. Ooh, prices are going up. How's that a punishment? It's only a punishment if you cannot adjust your appetite and decide, I got to keep doing what I have been doing. And that's where they have you. You are a slave to your appetite. You are a slave to your preferences. You are a slave to your habits, but you are not alone. Most of us, 95% or so of what we do by habit. We do as creatures, not as beings. Satguru says the difference between a creature and a being is a creature has to react instinctively to its environment. Therefore, it acts in automatic mode. But the being, self-aware as he or she is, can determine, notwithstanding the compulsions of my environment, I choose to act differently. Texas Lang, Chinese shops prices are just as bad now. So basically the only people who would not be hurting is the Haitians that are living on Crown Land rent, mortgage free, eating fresh vegetables and meat, government lower customs duties and bad on imports. Problem solved. That's very intelligent statement. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's very intelligent. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, brother. How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, my friend. How are you, man? Compliments of the season to you.
Likewise, you and your family. You know, like,
thank you.
You right on, man. You know something for years I tell them people. See, every day is Christmas for me. I tell my children, whatever my wife cook, I eat. I the boss, I see the mother, and you all don't eat nothing. See, baby, put all this one by weeks, bleach, false eyelashes, going to bank, more money, travel. Nobody got to pay the mortgage. Nobody got to do this. Nobody got license, show their car. And want the government to do this thing. And son, I'm so lucky because I can remember 2 years ago, whatever. All the primers, the former primers, just license the car and, no, insure the car and they elevate the license. I don't know what these people do. I mean, they know they got to pay. Our kid is stolen, and these people ain't paying no money, but they can show 3 and 4 hours too. See, we in the real world, you know. See, like if we had a freedom of information knock in this country, everything would be good, you know. We got some of the worst foreign states in the world, in the Bahamas. They're too friendly, man. They're too cozy to people. Do your job. That's all I tell people. Do your job. When I have my crew, I don't catch my crew, you know. I say, do your job, man. Every week I get try and pay all, like I pay your national insurance. The government make all kind of money for me, you know. I'm an asset of the country. All my children got passport. I pay for all these things. All of them got bank accounts. I get them on start. Like, see, many people get start for our tithing. And like somebody said a while ago in their texter, call your food, call your things, like I show my things. Everything else for my yard, like I eat, you know. I eat. Who won't buy some sugar apple and things? I sell to people, I sell my things. My desire to my clients.
I'm not sure what's happening with your phone, but we weren't hearing you too well, but we got your general point.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you calling. Listen, Bahamian citizens listening to me, residents listening to me, Chivago Langena, you want big meals, you want great meals, you want fancy houses, you want fancy cars, fancy clothes, etc. I ain't hating on you. If you can afford those things, man, go to town. Do you. But if you can't, you know, when we were younger, and I was younger, you know, I didn't see consumerism in the same way as I see it now. And you pay a price in your indebtedness for it. You pay a price in your financial circumstances for it, because you go and you just kind of a creature following the impulses of the attitudes and culture that you grew up in, right? You know, you can't do anything about that now. You lived that life, you did that. But now that you're wiser, you don't gotta live that same life over again. Right? The government, the inflation, except you were like in the United States of America, where they could fight it using a monetary policy. Inflation was never the government's fight to fight. Inflation was the government's responsibility to support and help the poor where possible. Our job was to fight inflation. And you know how you did that? As a, the grocery store, I say, I got to go up on romaine lettuce by $5, $6, $7. And you say, well, keep your romaine lettuce to yourself. I can eat spinach. And if they go up on the spinach, you decide, okay, well, this can be a little while, maybe temporary for 6 months. I got to find a cheaper way to get the nutrients I want. So go buy some supplements. Buy some supplements. Go drink sea moss. Get your nutrients, because why do we eat vegetables? We eat vegetables not for flavor. We eat vegetables for the minerals and the nutrients in them. Well, supplement. Go get sea moss. It has 96 of the ones they say we need on a daily basis. Buy kale. That's all I'm saying, right? So we fight inflation by our choices. You could even have the stuff you want, just have less of it. If you buy a pack of romaine lettuce, right, they come maybe three in the pack. Listen to me. If you don't eat them in about a week or so, what's going to happen? You and your family member buy one pack, and then you're going to split it. And so you could have your salad, you know, because the salad can only be romaine lettuce. There ain't no healthy salad. Just romaine lettuce? You have to have a colorful salad. Because now you got to add some sweet pepper, green, red, yellow bell pepper in it. Yeah, you know, maybe some onions and some, you should probably put some berries in it and stuff like that. For real? To mineral, nutrient-rich salad? There are alternatives to these things, man. We just slaves to our appetite. So I did something the other night, right? You know what? I'm going to tell you when I come back. We're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you marched the car?
I marched the car. The lady ran into me, marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I heard Brother Juan on his show complaining about the cold temperature in the studio. And I couldn't help but think I had just come out of a bank where I don't know what the heck was. It was freezing inside. I thought I was coming down with the cold, just standing standing in the bank. You know, really could use up some people air conditioning now. Anyways, so I was tell you all something I did the other day, and it speaks to discipline. I have been waking up about 2 o'clock every morning now for maybe a couple of weeks, and staying up to about 5 o'clock. This is something that plagued me throughout my life, right? As an adult, but I had gotten some ease from it, but it started happening again recently. And I started thinking, you know, Shivaga, I think how not so much what you're eating, even though sometimes I do have spicy food, but how you're eating, maybe your portions are too big. Now, I don't eat a lot of food during the day because I intermittent fast until about 11, 12 o'clock. And then I'll have my meal around that time. But it's sometimes a little heavier meal. And then my second meal for the day, which is the last one I'd have, it can also be somewhat heavy. Not a lot, but it's heavy enough. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe what you're doing is you're eating too much and too close to bedtime. And then that's what's creating maybe some acid in your stomach around that time. Anyways, so I decided this day I was going to eat less and see how that worked. And as I did. I honestly did. I ate less and I was going to settle on I'm not eating anymore. And my stomach felt really light and good. But man, listen, my head just started thinking, you know what, you should have some lobster salad because you feel it. And I did that. And I suffered the consequence of doing that. Why? Because I didn't discipline myself. I didn't discipline my appetite. And I stayed up for hours and hours because I could have avoided that with simply acknowledging the sensible thing to do here is don't eat no more. And I'm saying that's what a lot of us are doing when we deal with this stuff. But I don't understand it. I don't understand the furor over these prices to the extent that we have some control over it. There's some things you can't avoid buying, but we can all decide what portions to buy. We can all be wiser about how we buy. We can all cook wiser. We do, but our challenge is we will not adjust our preferences, appetite, and dealings. And then we want the government to bail us out. Well, they can't. They can't bail us out. They cannot. This is not their fault. It is elsewhere happening. And they tried to do something to hope that you could see that they were doing something. But it is not a good thing to do. We have more power to help ourselves than the government any day. I spent $340-something in the food store today. I did. You say, wow, that's a lot. In fact, when I was in the store, the woman said, oh, I need to come by you. I did. I spent $300-something. Why did I do it? First of all, I knew I was going to do it. I went there to get what I went to get, and I knew it. And I could afford it. I could afford it. I knew I could. So it was no issue. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. It wasn't a problem. Do I typically spend $340 in food? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I go to food store. I have a budget for groceries on a monthly basis, and it ain't $300-something. I can tell you that. It's far from $300-something. But my kids are coming home for Christmas, and they want some things that they would not have happily had. And they are coming for a little while. So I did that as a, but I was totally in control of my own circumstance. Totally. I wasn't out of line, wasn't out of control, wasn't concerned about it. I had already budgeted for that. Already knew I had that money to do it. I knew why I was doing it. We are our own best fight against price increases. So you could say to the grocers, listen, I love y'all. Thank you for all that you do commercially for us. Thank you for going and purchasing this stuff from all over the world so we could have access to it. I really appreciate you. Normally, I would buy 5 or 4 or 3 of your cans of spaghetti, but I only want one this month. Normally, I would buy a gallon of milk. I mean, a gallon of orange juice, maybe sometimes some of your sweet juices. Not doing it anymore this month. I'm going to make lemonade. I'm going to drink water. I love the meats that I get from you. But I'm sorry, can't do your steak. Can't do your mutton, not this time. I'm going to buy me some chicken. And guess what? I'm going to buy the whole chicken instead of the cut up chicken. And I'm going to make this, I'm going to flavor this and season this. And oh, she going to be good. You all minding these children? Man, someday stop fooling around these children, making them a big meal and make these children some steamed mackerel on white rice with some greens on the side. What are we doing? If you got big meal money, spend your big meal money. If you don't have big meal money, you do what you need to do for your own self, because the grocers can't bail you out and the government can't bail you out when you can't afford to pay all your other bills. Right? And so this whole mess now requires adults. There's no room for pride and ego. It's about sensibleness. This is about doing what is sensible. What's sensible? Right? You can't crush your businesses. It's not going to be helpful to your society because you can't supply all the things the businesses supply to the society. And you can't crush the government. And you can't crush the consumers. Because they still have, they can't buy what they can't afford. So let's be a society. Let's be a community. Let's be a cooperation. Let's see if we can't help everybody live. Right? You can't, you know, if you could take some of the cost and swallow it. So let's say you were charging 30% profit. Okay, so you take you took 25, you do 22. Give that to the customer, you know, so they don't suck up all your cost. Right? Those who desperately need some help, they go to the government and the government use their tax money to help them. Those of who could afford the increase, you know, do it. Or we decide to just curb our volume, our quantity, maybe even something so we can make it. Let's be a society, man. You know what? Let me tell you all what we are missing. What's what we're missing, Bahamas? We are missing a golden opportunity to be a community. We are missing it in our selfishness, in our unwillingness to see each other. We are missing it. See, I can't for political expediency do something that's going to hurt the grocers, and then for commercial expediency do something that's going to hurt the consumers, and then for the expediency of self-indulgence hurt the government and the commercial establishments. Man, we have an opportunity together to work through our challenges, because these challenges are ours in collective. We didn't create these challenges for ourselves, at least not this inflation one. So we're missing that opportunity. Why? So what are we doing instead? Like, think about it. Think about it. Boy, let me tell you all something. You know, I can save that till after the break. Because I want to take my time with it. I want to take my time with it. Because we just need to stop and think of it. What are we doing now? Rowing. Fighting. Staring down each other. playing kick the can, playing what that game name where you put the rock in your hand, the rock hot, the, you know what I mean? You go, you hit it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back after the news break, yeah, Firebun. That's what we playing. Firebun. You hit it, Firebun. He was the big man in town. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It's Texas here. I'm going to stop putting sugar in corned beef, man. Keep fighting, bro. Keep fighting. So I was telling y'all before the break, come July, I want y'all to think about this. Come July 10th of this, of next year, we are all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. We've been a country for 40, 50 years. What a glorious unity we have. What a glorious nation we have, country we have. 50 years, and we should be celebrating, we should. But at the same time, we rowing over price control. Think about that. We're gonna celebrate our union as a nation for 50 years of independence from Great Britain. And we're going to hopefully have some dialogue around this for glorious 50 years of existence as an independent country. And all that it means to us. And we can sit down. You know, inflation is an extraordinary thing. It's extraordinary right now. And grocers and consumers. And we would like that pressure to be eased to some. So how can we work together to get this done? Didn't do that. We make decisions. But then and after the decisions together and say, listen, here's how we could work together to get it done. Can't do it, but begin. But watch next year, July, though. Watch us next year, July. Kumbaya. If you think about it, right? If we stop sometimes and put our egos aside, if that's what the problem is, or put our own narrow side and think for a moment. So let's say this is here's what this policy has done. The policy says we want to limit the profit margins on certain items so that consumers wouldn't have to face a higher price tag at the cash register. Now, who can deny that that's a laudable meaning for the government to have to reduce the cost that people might face in terms of prices at the cash register? No one. I think everybody knows that that's a noble thing for the government to want to do. Now, the government has always had price control on some items, 26 of them, as a matter of fact, prior to now. So for years and years, the government of the Bahamas has said, these items we deem as breadbasket, we are going to control margins on them, right? Granted, Bahamian taste and preference, maybe even propensity toward greater healthy items had long changed, and the breadbasket items remain the same, so that even lard is still on the breadbasket item, one of them breadbasket items. Like lard, right? So we've always believed that kind of suppressing profits made sense. Now, for years, the doctors and the medical people have been saying to, and the health experts have been saying to us, eat more fruits, eat more vegetables. These are going to reduce your chronic illnesses. We've heard that for years. And the price of those items have been going up year after year after year. We don't do nothing about it. The grocers have been making whatever margins on them they've been wanting to make all along. The government could have said then, no, let's keep the margins on them lower so that these people don't face that. Do we really believe in price control for good and effective public health reasons? And price control right now is nothing more than a token political tool. And I'm not talking about the present administration. I'm talking about every administration, including the one I participated in. Price control was there for nothing more than token political use, because no one wanted to say they would get rid of it and make the poor think you no longer cared about them. But if we cared about the poor, would we want them to be eating the stuff on the breadbasket list, or would we want them to be eating the stuff on the list of health things that the people who deal with people's health say should be on it? Huh? See, price control can't be a policy separate and apart from all the other aims and efforts to keep the society healthy, safe, strong, and prosperous. If you focus just on the price, then you're going to miss some other things. If you focus only on the health, you'll miss some other things. You have to look at it holistically. You guys subject folk to genuine competition, real competition. You could price shop in the Bahamas, but price shopping in the Bahamas is a effort in futility for the most part, because what we have going on is a kind of oligarchical arrangement of commerce. It's a small society. They go around the corner, check the price. Oh, they're selling the thing for $12.19. And they say, okay, but put ours down to $12.06. Oh, what a huge savings. Real competition, say you're selling for $12, put it down there for $11.99. We'll stomach that. You even have no transparency to be able to price compare like that. So would we have an opportunity to cooperate more to probably achieve some better results? And we're not taking it as much as we should, as much as we could. Yet we will, in a few months, be celebrating 50. As much as we celebrate the 50 gone, I wonder if we can reimagine the 50 to come. Seriously, reimagine it. Not reimagine it from a imagine it from a way we behave with each other point of view. Maybe we could. And that'll be the challenge. That'll be what it is we get to see. So one McCartney was speaking about Stephen Mim. He's a professor, Stephen Mim, who had an opinion piece on Bloomberg's website, entitled FTX's Bahamas Headquarters Was the First Clue. And Professor Min went into all kinds of, history of the Bahamas, etc. And I think Juan did a good job speaking to and reading through some of the utter nonsense that Professor Mim wrote. I don't even want to talk to that. I want to tie that to something I said to y'all yesterday. This gentleman is a professor of doggone history at the University of Georgia. Okay? A professor of history. This isn't an educated man. This isn't an educated American who badly distorted, badly misrepresented, spoke to circumstances, historic and otherwise, in the Bahamas. But he's a professor of history. A supposedly learned man. And his take on FTX is, we should have known when FTX chose to go in that historically renegade, crime-supporting place, that something was amiss. This man, this educated man, holds a view of us that is so despicable, because in his mind, we are what the country, what, not this independent country, but what the country was when the pirates was running rampant, when the rum running was carrying on, when the drug trade was rampant. We are that. This man does not consider us sophisticated in any way. Notwithstanding the very sophisticated financial services center we operate in. I'm not just talking about the offshore one. I'm talking about the domestic one as well. It has its issues. We got it, but they, the operational issues, but he does not take that into account. You are a renegade group, and anybody coming to you must red flag, because why are they coming to you? That's his view. But he is an educated, y'all remember what I'm saying now. He is an educated man, a professor of history at the University of Georgia. This is his view. This is a man, educated as he is, who didn't stop to think Well, you know, lots of companies headquarter themselves in the United States of America. And this is a country where slavery found its apex. This is a country where FTX and its debacle has been multiplied many times over. That this is a country where if run rumming through the Bahamas was a problem, the runners was from the United States of America. That if drug trafficking was a problem, this country being a transit point was a transit point between South America and North America, where he lives. That if this country has been a beacon of gangsterism, that those gangsters found in many ways their home and root in the United States. But we do not attribute to the United States this nefariousness. We don't say when people go there to locate and headquarter themselves, why would you go and locate and headquarter yourself where this gangster lived, that gangster lived, where this debacle happened, that debacle happened? We don't, because we are more sophisticated in our thinking than he is. We are. But why do I point this out to you? Remember I told you all yesterday, you are FTX's CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried, has agreed to go testify before Congress. Congress don't have a buggy load of professors in it. Congress has some very normal, average human beings, and they know less about the Bahamas than this professor of history knows. Because he clearly don't know us. And therefore, his mindset can be manifoldly worse reflected in some of the thinkings of people who may exist in the, who haven't even taken the time to try to know the Bahamas in any way. Maybe they go on Bloomberg News and go read him and think, ah, yes, that's the perspective. A Bahamian professor ought to answer him. Because I am sure that any number of them could help him enlighten himself if he is interested to be so enlightened. All right? But what I'm warning is, the reputational contagion that FTX can produce for us because of a narrowness in perspective that some of these people have of us has always been the risk we run from this situation. And if we're not telling our story, others will tell it for us. Others will tell it for us. And so, that's what Professor Mim was doing. I was actually, honestly, as I first listened to one and then I read it, I was like, wow. Here is where ignorance finds its comfort zone. Here is where someone doesn't even take the time to know you well enough to speak knowledgeably about you and gets the glorious opportunity to post his thoughts on a Bloomberg site. That's what I thought. What you could do? You can say nothing or you could answer him. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Shanae's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights. A large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels and Santa tree toppers. Bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes. Garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, pixies this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Shanae's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.shanae's.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. You know, I was speaking about Professor Mim and his thoughts on the fact that he says, while there were many things that investors should have examined when looking at Sam Bankman-Fried's operation, he said maybe the first thing they should have looked at was when he decided to relocate his headquarters to the Bahamas. When he decided to relocate his headquarters to the Bahamas, they should have taken note. I think Professor Mims did enough work to know that we actually have legislation to govern exchanges here. I am not going to comment on whether our regulations were adequate or inadequate or not. That's for others to comment on for the time being. I reserve my comments on it. But we have legislation. The man was residing, he had operations in the United States of America, got over dozens of companies in the United States of America, and they operate there, and they got no legislation, none. None. He runs a hedge fund there in the United States of America, where many of these investors who've invested in FTX and Alameda. They're Americans, Americans, they're Americans. They live in America. And apparently, they didn't see what the issue was. So they invested. That's why people like O'Leary and them now crying about their money, and these are sophisticated investors. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lane.
Hi, hey, good afternoon, man. How you doing?
Yeah, all right. I'm enjoying the show. You know, the thing is, you got a rebroadcast on the FTX and the cryptocurrency, and I shared all of those sentiments, and I went, right?
Mm.
Yeah, the outlook and how you comment, really, truly. But the thing is, and I listened to Warren, too, and Warren represented us well, right? And would you say the guy named Professor Nim? Or
Professor Mim. M-I-H-M.
His article was pretty dim, right, on us. Because, and Warren highlighted some historical, like, chronology as far as injustices, as far as America's concerned. But he left out the opium wars, right, in which China became reluctant to allow the facilitation of the opium shipment through China in the 1800s, right? And then the subsequent action and reactions of Britain and America. And so we would want to look into that. But the thing is, these, like you said, I like how you stress his story, right? But I wanted to comment on the food situation you was talking about and with the food stores and stuff like that. And
okay.
So the advice you gave is totally perfect because I was in the store Sunday past, right? And I saw the broccoli ran into like 10-something, right? As a lady came in and she was hysterical about some items to the food aisle, the food and vegetable aisle, and she called the manager in, and she was hysterical, and I was saying, we don't grow these things. But what I did, instead of buying the broccoli, right, I bought the cabbage, the purple cabbage, right, and the carrots, and so I decided that's what I would eat. And so when I saw the price of the lettuce, you know, I don't really use the lettuce. I look at how nutritious it is. So instead of buying the lettuce to make my sandwiches or whatever, I bought the spinach. So I thought that's quite a no-brainer, right?
I
kind of agree with you somewhat about the free market, right? But, Mr. Lang, I wanted you to comment after I finish. But the thing is, I really believe some people really is the... Not Mr. Roberts now, because I really believe he's doing his best to really trying to keep... Because I noticed some of the stuff that he sells is really cheaper than other people. So I don't know. It's like a balance. I don't know. Some items are really still reasonable. So you get the sense that he's trying to hold on these prices, right? And so I'm looking at it. Maybe that's the reason for some of the high prices, but... When I look at some non-food items like appliances and stuff like that, Mr. Lang, I had to buy two fridges this between last year and this year, two fridges, right? And so I bought a fridge, and I don't know if it went bad. I don't know if BC caused it, who caused it, but the fridge went bad, and the parts not available from the people who I bought it from. But then subsequently, the people who I bought the new fridge from, they had the same name brand fridge. So when the guy told me how much they were selling it for, I was livid. Because they was actually selling it for about $500-something less than what I bought it for. And it was unbelievable to me. I just couldn't believe it, Mr. Lang. And then I needed some fluorescent bulbs just now. And I normally get them from AG and Henry Store. They're quite reasonable, 8 feet. They're like seven-something, $8 the most. So I went to a guy, he had it for like almost
$10. Tell them, send a check to Guardian for that nice advertisement now.
No, sorry for calling their names, but I just look at this party with these things, man. It's unbelievable, man. Better line, man. I think it still needs some kind of price, like regulations, man. Because some of these people are overdoing it, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, but that. Yeah, okay, bro.
I got you.
I understand. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Be listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, good, man. Warren Sure was really an eye opener. I really like what he does sometimes when he go deep. I used to work for a guy from Greece, and he was proud to show me a briefcase where he had like five different passports, and he had a Bahamian passport, and he was also proud to let me know that, says, you know, piracy is still alive in the Bahamas, it's just taking on a different form. And I began to look into that, and I'm kind of seeing what he's saying, but I want to ask you a question. If, say, Sam Bankman had given me, say, $100,000, and now he's hauled before the court, Congress or wherever, and they ask him where all the money has gone, and he was to call my name. Would I be culpable with if he's charged for fraud?
No, because no, it depends. Because you can only be culpable of or guilty of fraud if you yourself knowingly with intent with others participate in that fraud.
Okay.
But if somebody gives me money as a charity and what have you, he was a legitimate registered entity in the Bahamas operating legitimately. He bought stuff at the stores. He he paid rent and leases, et cetera. Well, why was I participating in fraud if I believe you are a legitimate business?
All right, good. Thank you so much.
Right? Yeah. The other thing I want to say, though, is what do you mean piracy is alive in the Bahamas? There's fraud in the United States. There's fraud in UK because human beings everywhere exist on the planet. There are human beings willing to disobey the law.
I agree. So he just specifically says because he's doing dirt here, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying there is no value to a person observing either your history or your currency to say that there are things being done wrong in it. Unless you have a systematic state orchestrated cooperation of fraud, you can't be talking about my country. You could be talking about parts of my country or people in my country, but you can't be talking about my country as a whole.
But you know, that's the way they do it when they have in their dinner, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. That's what, when people want to put a branding on you, that's how they talk about you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you calling, man. Okay, yeah. So, you expect a certain level of sophistication from people who purport, or not purport, but people who actually are participating in high academic work, and you expect more. But again, you know, he has a perspective. That's his perspective, and he shared it. I guess it's his story. and also, see, when we start talking about regulating prices, I say to us, where does that end? See, why is it okay for me to regulate your food price, but I don't regulate your housing price? He needs food and shelter, but I don't regulate the shelter, right? So why don't I come to landlords and say, man, come on, y'all know these people can't afford no $2,000 rent. Okay, you only could charge this amount. Why don't I do that? Because people need shelter. We need clothing. So why don't I go in the stores and regulate the clothes? People have to. The underwear, it has been a lifesaver since the invention of underwear and cotton. It's a lifesaver. People don't know that, right? Because underwear separates your skin from your clothes, so that the bacteria that might be on the outside on your clothes don't seep in when you sweat and stuff, basically, and get as easily to your skin. That's what underclothes is for. Underclothes, we used to wear underclothes, but there's a reason for underclothes. It's a health provision. Why don't I regulate those things? Because people need them. It's useful. Because I want you to imagine, I mean, seriously, right? I want you to imagine that no person can make a profit in a society. That you say to all businesses, you are all businesses that now have to operate as nonprofits. How many of you believe we would still have as many things in our society available to us to buy as we now have? And as good as things. Just think about that for a minute. Tell all the grocery store owners, no more profits to be made off of your sale of food. Tell all the car people, all the housing people, all the contractors, no profits to be made. What would happen? This economy would collapse into one of the most deteriorated, mediocre things you could find. Well, if that extreme end of no profit produces that kind of severe result, well, what do you think happens when you start limiting people's profit? You also produce some of that result. So the best way for you and I to regulate prices is to walk away from the items. Walk away. Bro, that fridge is too expensive. I'm not buying it. Walk away. They'll get the message eventually when the fridge stay around for 2, 3, 4 years. They'll start even asking questions. But you think the answer is for the government to tell the man he could only make so much profit? This man takes the time, this woman takes the time, the energy, the effort, the money to go ahead and get all these logistical things worked out. Let me tell you some business, doing business is a headache. And then when you go and do the business and you sell your item, and then you're left going through all of that to make $20? For real? For real? You're not going to do it. You can give up and say, you know what? Let somebody else try and do it. I done. So you have to be careful about the notion of regulating prices. In a free enterprise, that comes at a price. This text says the government put 10% VAT on bread, basket items, insurance, feminine and baby products, medicine, and many things that affected the poor. This didn't help the global increase in prices. Now they want to pressure merchants and do damage control. It's not an unfair statement. This text says, Mr. Lang, I shop in Super Value every day. Had it not been for those stamps, I wouldn't survive. Okay, that works. A lot of the stores now are coming up with loyalty programs. Loyalty programs. I got loyalty card from Capilano. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So where's Anton? Man, I'm not messing with Anton, man. Y'all call Anton name yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Sound effect. When your living room wasn't your gym, when a cough didn't scare people away, that was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. When I first ran for office as a member of parliament in 1997, I was 29 years old and I had never ran for political office before. And I was working for the government of the Bahamas at the time in the Prime Minister's office. I resigned my job. I think that election was in March 1997, March 14th. And I quit that job, I think, in November of 1996 or thereabouts. And went full-time to campaign. I met many personalities in those days. I did not know many people in the political realm. And this is one of the things when you're a new candidate, you need to be careful of, because some very influential people, not that they're rich or famous, they're just influential in the constituency because they're well-known and well-respected and well-regarded. Know a lot of them, so I had to be introduced to a lot of people, and I had to meet a lot of these people. I had to get to know a lot of these people. And honestly, some people were fantastically helpful, generously instructive, supportive. Some people were like, just pure ego, and the only reason why they was even paying any attention to you because they had hoped that you could do something for them or something. You had some people who were kind and gracious and friendly, and then you had some people like, man, you just wondered, like, how do you make it, right? So you meet all kinds of people, priests and politicians and teachers and business people and, you know, just a ton of people. It, like, that political involvement, like, that throws you into a potpourri of people, personalities, and so forth. And as you move along, you kind of get a sense of some people who you should, you know, could probably count on, some people you should probably avoid. Even though at no time should you try to offend people, because politics is a business of addition and multiplication, not division and subtraction. You don't win subtracting and dividing. You win adding and multiplying. So you have to be careful. And so you meet a lot of personalities, and, you know, some of them, they stick with you. They stick on you. Like, you really find them appealing. I met in those days Alfonso Buc, businessman, my mother's very good friend. And, you know, and I mean, he's charming, charismatic, you know, just oozing with life, accomplished in his business endeavors and so forth. You know, just a charming guy to speak with. Talk to, smile bigger than life. Very close friend of former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, right? And I remember having, he talked to me in those first days, one, as if he really knew me well, but I could just tell he meant well for me, right? And I was able to, over the years, just enjoy very wonderful interactions with him. His daughter was one of my colleagues in running in 2002. You know, it was he was really a big personality in life. And he passed away. He passed away recently, today. And I express deep condolences to his family on his passing. And all the many people, I have no doubt, who
were connected to him. I have to say that in my political movings and meetings with people, his was one of the more pleasant personalities I met. I don't know what other people encountered, but I'm talking about what I met, what I encountered, what I interacted with. Just friendly, encouraging, just supportive. I mean, just everything said to me, you know, I love a young man like you, striving and thriving. Great businessman. And may his soul rest in peace. And may his family find comfort in this hour of their grief. We all will walk that way. And I don't shy from that reality, even at 55 years old. I am mindful of my mortality. And try to prepare for when that happens, and I do not pretend that it is going to be a day of my choosing, or it's going to be near nor far, because I simply do not know. I can only prepare. I was having a conversation with my son a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, I said to him, he's 14 years old, as you might remember, as I say often, I asked him, I said, would you go to heaven? Now, I know we have a theology that says, oh, we don't really go to heaven. But I was simplifying life for him. You know, that's what we tell people. You go to heaven, you go to hell. Simplifying for this 14-year-old. And he said something to me that broke my heart. That's the truth. I ain't gonna lie to you. He said, Daddy, there's no guarantee. I said, really? Yeah, he said, there's no guarantee. He's 14 years old. I said, I see you believe in God. He said, yes. I see you believe in Jesus. He said, yes. He said, but there's no guarantee. And all I said to myself was, wow. We were sitting in the car. I said, wow. Because I thought to myself, what a terror it must be to think, as we do, a lot of us do, that if you die, you go to hell. What a terror that must be. I know it. It's a terror to think of it. If that's your theology, if that's your view, that's what I think. It's a terror to think that that is possible. Anyway, days later, on a Sunday, we, you know, sometimes we don't go to church in person. We go to church virtually. And so we were doing church that way, and I told him, please listen to the pastor, and he was listening to the pastor. And when he was done, we were standing in the kitchen, and I asked him, I said, what did you learn from the pastor? He said, well, you know, that you need to pay attention to what you do and do the right thing and so forth and so forth. I said, did you get the sense from his message that there is a guarantee when you die to go to heaven? He said, no. He said, so let me ask you a question. If I said to you, your back will be covered, I guarantee. What would happen if you put a shirt on your back? He said, but my back will be covered. That's a guarantee. I said, yeah, okay. I'm not getting in your theology. I'm just telling you a conversation I had with him, right? So I said, well, Jesus said, if you believe on me, you shall be saved. That's what the scriptures teach us, right? He said, you shall be saved. I said, so what did Jesus say? He said, if you believe on him, you shall be saved. I said, so do you believe on him? He said, yes. I said, and what did he say will happen if you believe in him? He said, listen to me, this is what happened. My son turned away from me so I couldn't see his face because tears were streaming down his eyes. And as I tried to continue to talk to him, he walked toward the pantry as if he was picking up something because he wanted to wipe the tears from his eyes. And what I gathered was in that moment, he had a burden lifted from him because the terror of the absence of a guarantee about his eternal destination had been lifted and removed. And I take that to mean what we teach ourselves and our children. We ought to hope that what we're teaching them is to have a hope. Because to live in the absence of hope is to live in terror. Eternal terror. This boy told me, I forgot to tell you this, he told me, I said, why didn't you have a guarantee? He says, because I sin. This is a 14-year-old boy who ain't never murder, rape, commit adultery, or any of the kinds of things we send people to hell for. But in his mind, whatever he was doing, whatever sin he does, he's supposed to go to, he is qualified for hell. Notwithstanding, his subscription to a belief in his faith says to him, if he believes, he should avoid that. Whatever we do in teaching these children, that what we teach them is to live in hope. So that when your time comes, my time comes, his time comes, when death smiles at us, we could smile back. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope you have a wonderful evening. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.